Hi, I'm Paula Calhoun from Money Culture for Women. And today I'm hosting our weekly podcast, and my guest is Christine Burns. Chris is a 30-year veteran of Wall Street, starting with E.F. Hutton. She served in a succession of executive roles, and she was chief administrative officer of Tremont Capital Management. She is the general manager of the Learning Network, a division of Howling Wolf Enterprises, LLC. She serves as the secretary of the nonprofit of Home, Family, and Future. As an entrepreneur, she started a restaurant, and she helps operate a charitable theater group, Front Row Players, for special needs adults. She and her husband are the parents of two children, now adults. Chris is also on the board of the Money Culture Initiative. Welcome, Chris. And it is a privilege to talk to you.
Oh, well, thank you, Paula. Thank you for having me. I'm happy to be on the show and share whatever insights or knowledge I can with other women out there.
Thanks. Well, Chris, you succeeded in a profession that's heavily dominated by men in executive positions. What can women do to change that?
You probably don't know this, but I started on Wall Street in 1985. So the Wall Street world was a lot different then than it is now. And yes, mm-hmm. a lot of the higher professional executive positions were held by men. However, I saw an opportunity in the business administrative end of things. It seemed like men just wanted to work on the investment side of the business, and they weren't interested in the actual business end and how it operated and so forth. So I actually started my career, believe it or not, as an administrative assistant as a way of opening a door to get myself, you know, into Wall Street. And then, you know, I did what you need to do, which is work hard and add value to your department and your organization. You know, I probably was only in that position for about 6 months before I got promoted. And, you know, again, just continuing to work hard and add value, you know, I just went from, you know, junior level management to senior level management, where I ultimately ended up in the hedge fund industry as a C-level position. But again, I chose to go in the path of business administration versus investments because there were just more opportunities available then. I think it's different for women now, though. I think there are more opportunities in the investment end for women. And just one thing I would say to them, as I did when I was even in the business admin roles, is be sure to get paid what you should be paid. Just because we're women doesn't mean that, you know, we should get less money. So I was always able to kind of find out what the pay levels were for, you know, men in my position, whether it was at, you know, the first vice president level or the senior vice president level. And I made sure I got paid the same. So that would be something I would pass along to them.
Strong, good advice. How were you able to balance a successful professional career and a family?
Well, it wasn't always easy, but, you know, I think the first thing that you need to have, believe it or not, is good help. You need to have good, reliable help. And, you know, whether it's the caregivers to take care of your children or whatever you need to make the family run smoothly. I always put my family first in front of my professional life because I felt that if that didn't work and it wasn't running smoothly, then I would suffer in my professional life as well. So, you know, having good help certainly helped a lot with that. You know, making sure that everyone's needs were met, including my own, you know, also helped. And again, because that seemed to run so smoothly, it didn't seem to interfere with my professional life at all.
I know that you have the lovely Maggie, who's a special needs adult. What advice can you give to women about raising a child with special needs?
Well, it's no different than raising a typical child, I guess. It just maybe has a few more challenges. you know, when Maggie was younger and school age, you know, I think what I wanted for her or the challenges I had for her were the same that typical parents have. Like, you know, will she be challenged enough in school? Will she be able to play on a sports team? Will she be invited to birthday parties? You know, and I think those are some of the same challenges and, you know, concerns that typical parents have. It's when Maggie got older and I realized, you know, in my own inner circle of friends or whatever, that their children were getting older and moving on or whatever, and that just wasn't going to be the case with Maggie. You know, it was when I came to realize that I needed to work with her and provide for her some type of, you know, adult life, because school was over and she needed to have something in her adult life to engage her every day. And that's not something that, you know, parents of typical kids have to worry about. Yeah, sure, they send them to college and hope they get a job or whatever. But this is just different in that, what will she do every day? Who will she be with? Where is she going to live? You know, things like that. But there's a lot of challenges, but there's also a lot of joys that come with it. So I'll end with that.
Thanks. What did you learn from owning a restaurant that you'd pass along to other women?
Oh, that I'd never do it again. And I mean, you know, I'm a hard worker, and I think everyone who knows me would agree with that. But I have never worked so hard in my life. You have to wear so many different hats. You know, not only was I the owner of the restaurant, but I was also like the executive chef. So I had all the cooking responsibilities. You know, I was running the front end and the back end of the restaurant. And, you know, it just became so overwhelming. So people who want to consider owning a restaurant, and I know many of them do, and I did because I'm a foodie and that's what I love. But, you know, just know that it's a lot of work and there's not a lot of money to be made. And I think that's one of the reasons restaurants fail, is that you're not prepared for the amount of work involved, and the economy turns on you, and it's just hard to make a profit.
What's your best advice to women regarding becoming more savvy in investing?
Well, a lot of women are passive about it, I think. First of all, they should educate themselves and not rely upon, you know, necessarily a man to do their investments for them or figure things out. There's a lot of single moms out there now, and, you know, they need to understand, you know, financial investments themselves, so that they, when they're meeting with either their financial planner or whomever they're meeting with, that they understand the investments that they're getting into. I just don't think there's enough education out there, or that women are taking advantage of the education that's out there, and they really should.
Excellent. Do you have any last advice for women?
Let me think. I mean, I hope that there's a lot of women out there who are considering careers in Wall Street, that they give it a go, because it's a fascinating field, first of all. And, you know, you get to work with a lot of smart people. You know, it's a lot of hours or whatever initially, but eventually that tapers off. And, you know, don't make work your end-all, be-all. You know, you need to have a life, and you need to be able to have the things in life you enjoy, whether they be a family or whether they be traveling or whatever. So don't deny yourself that either. And always, of course, you know, make time for yourself. You know, don't get so stressed out. If you're feeling overwhelmed, overcome, do what you need to do, whether go to the spa or take a vacation, whatever it takes, just take care of yourself.
I appreciate this time very much, Chris. We've enjoyed having you and your sage advice, and keep up the good work with all your activities and at Money Culture.
Oh, thank you so much, Paul. It was great speaking with you today, too, as well.